my goodness, Michelle.
Episode 6.
But more importantly, I can see your face.
This is true. No more dodgy doll room.
The doll room, yes, it's true. The dangerous doll room. I forgot what they called it, but...
And the freezing basement.
Yeah, and the freezing basement where we're actually interacting right now.
Yeah, we're moving up. It's nice.
Hopefully things are a little bit smoother now. Although they went pretty good when we were not together, surprisingly.
And we didn't see... Yeah, we couldn't see each other's faces, so...
So I wasn't feeling, like, nauseated or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know. And I can insult you more freely now.
Yeah, I could roll my eyes.
Yes, and I can look you in the eye while I'm insulting you, and you can roll your eyes at me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So this is episode 6. This is the, what is this?
This is the Iron and Sugar episode.
Iron and Sugar episode. Sweet!
Yes, very sweet.
This is going to be a super, super sweet episode.
I like sugar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we're hoping people could do for our next episode, for episode 7, is the copper and or wool episode. So if anyone would like to, feel free to tweet a game, playing a game with copper or wool.
Yes.
Feel free to do it if you're Canadian and you have a bunch of pennies lying around. You could tweet a picture of you throwing the pennies in the air. Feel free to do that. Or whipping pennies.
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But you never know.
Unless I do it. I was just going through a bunch of change and I actually found some pennies.
Yeah?
Still, so.
I don't even know if I probably have pennies somewhere.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. And the Americans still have pennies.
Do they?
I think. For some weird reason. I don't know. Yeah. So, we look forward to hopefully seeing that.
Yes.
I'll try and tweet something to be a good example. We'll see. We have FallCon coming up. So, that's our local... board game convention.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'll play a game that has copper or wool.
Probably.
Yeah.
I probably will, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It sounds like a very Euro thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Any game with sheep.
Yep, that's true.
Or we could
that's pretty easy.
Go to a petting zoo and shear some sheep.
You could do that. I'm good.
You wouldn't do that?
I mean, I would.
I would love to shear a sheep, actually. That would
really?
Be so much fun.
It
would be
okay.
So cool. All right, I'm getting off top.
I'd like to roll my eyes, but I'm not going to. No.
I'm getting off topic here.
And our anniversary material this week was iron.
It was.
And iron and sugar. So we picked Manhattan Project Energy Empire. I couldn't think of anything else. So this is another ask I have of our listeners, is to tweet us games with iron or sugar. There's Candyland.
Candyland, yes.
But I couldn't think of anything else.
There's got to be a baking game, isn't there? Like an a la mode game or something. No, what is it?
A la carte?
Is that it? I don't know.
I don't think it has sugar.
I thought maybe
like Potion Explosion had sugar.
No, but that's easy.
But it's
witchy.
Like Unicorn Tears. And
exactly.
Tears. I actually looked because it would have been pick. But anyways, so yeah, all you listeners, all
of you guys. Mom, how to tweet? If you know how to tweet, Mom, please tweet for us. Pretty sure you know how to Facebook, but I don't know if you know how to tweet yet. So, all right, before we get super off topic, let me ask you a very important question.
Oh, okay.
Which is just totally 100% just to troll you.
Okay.
If you could be any character in a board game, who would you be?
Oh, that's a good question. Character.
Yes. Now, I'm asking this of someone whose preference for games is... Seamless,
yeah, so can
soulless
I be,
cube pushers.
Can I be the white guy on every Euro game box crossing my arms?
You could.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're the white guy in every...
Yeah.
Okay.
that's my choice.
I figured, you know what, when I was thinking what your choice would be, I was like, maybe she'll pick someone from Shadows of Brimstone. I don't really know Shadows of Brimstone, though.
Oh, it's been a while.
Or she'll pick just the guy crossing his arms on games. That's like, I figured it would be one of those two.
My second choice, I think it would actually be Cthulhu.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because Cthulhu's in millions of games.
Yeah.
Every game. All right. Fair enough.
Hey, my question for you is, what game box would you want to live in and why? So, not necessarily what game world would you want to live in. It could just be a box of bits.
Ooh.
Right.
Okay, let me say, first of all, I'm very proud of you for this question.
Thank you.
Because... It's not serious.
Yeah.
You usually ask me a serious question, and then I feel like a goof, so I appreciate that.
I'm not good at
this. No, that's a really good question, actually. So I would want something with a really nice insert, because then it'd be like, there'd be space and different components and compartments.
Okay.
I don't know what I like, though. And something big.
Yeah. Maybe something with some soft bits. Are there soft bits? Is that such a thing?
I'm sure there is. It's tricky. I was thinking, well, recently I just played Number 9. That's got like 10 different components, 10 different trays in there. That's pretty cool.
It's colorful.
Yeah, I can't think of any. Why can't you?
Maybe
think
like
of
Monopoly Gamer. You could like live with Mario and Yoshi.
Oh, that'd be so cool. And I could ride around Yoshi. It would be like Toy Story. You know, like when everyone goes to bed, then we all come alive.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. That's amazing. It. Monopoly Gamer. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, good call.
That's awesome. All right. On that note, on the note of awesome, I'm just looking at your game collection here for our Guess the Game bit.
Yes. I'm very bad at this, by the way.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try and go the way you went yesterday. Awesome. Oh, yesterday. Last episode. We did not record yesterday. Last episode. And just start off with like weight and see if we can get you.
Okay.
To guess it. All right.
Okay.
So this particular game is from 2013. It's got a BGG weight of 3.41.
Okay.
And it plays 2 to 4 players.
That's not generic. 2013. Okay.
Yeah, I know for you that's like really old. So.
Well, that's about when I got into the hobby. So I got to think like early games for me.
Yeah. It's,
that's early for me. Okay.
You've played it a fair number of times.
Okay.
So it isn't just like a 1 or 2 play thing.
Okay.
Its rank on BGG is 59. So it's up there.
2 to 4, 2013. Is it Robinson Crusoe?
No.
Can you give me a mechanism?
All right, let's see what the official mechanisms are here. Oh, I would just say it's Euro.
It's a Euro, okay.
All right. The type is strategy, mechanism, worker placement.
Oh, God. Because you fit a more generic, picked a more generic game. Okay.
I think if I get into categories, you'll get it.
Okay.
Do you want categories or designer?
Designer.
Designer.
That might really give it away, though.
All right, if I can pronounce them. So, 2 designers, Helmut Ole, and Leonard Lonnie Orgler.
What? Normally, I know designers.
Published by Z-Man Games.
Oh, my goodness. I have no clue.
All right, categories. Industry/manufacturing. And trains.
Oh, Russian railroads.
Yes.
So you basically had to give me everything.
I had to
possible.
Give you everything, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's weird. I usually know the designer, but that one?
Well, that's,
nope,
yeah.
I didn't know it.
I don't know what else they do, either
or. I don't
or.
Either.
Let's look.
Let's look.
Let's educate our listeners here.
Shall we?
Yeah. Because I've definitely heard of Helmut Ole or whatever.
Yeah,
his name is.
Well, the name's
well, First Class.
Familiar. Yeah, yeah. Which is fabulous.
1844, also an 18XX game, 1844, 1854. Oh, a bunch of 18. Oh, geez. Bunch of 18XX games.
Oh, okay. That's probably
and then, yeah, the only two seem like First Class and Russian Railroad.
So he's like a total trains guy.
He's a super trains guy.
Oh, cool. Didn't know that.
He loves him some trains. So, good try.
Do you know what we didn't do?
What?
We didn't do sound effects. Yes.
Oh, what sound effect do you want to do? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, we did one last time.
Did we?
Do.
Oh, okay.
Jeopardy.
So just imagine that's at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
Or I could
exactly.
cut it and put it, but we'll see.
No, we'll leave it at the end, you know?
Sure, it'll be different.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is what makes us unique. We
yes.
forget things and then do them at the last minute.
It's because we're old and we both have small children.
This is true.
So we're...
Our lack of sleep is catching up on us.
Yes, I walked in and Michelle was just yawning like there was no tomorrow.
My daughter is teething, so...
Yes, and mine is also teething. Yes. So it has been a fun couple of days.
Yes, indeed.
All right, now it's time for some pew, 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 pew.
Good one.
Time for some drive-bys. So what's your first drive-by bit, Michelle?
My first drive-by is Fantasy Realms by Bruce Glasgow and published by WizKids.
We actually got to play this one together.
Shocker. Yeah, so it's a new game. It's a 20-minute filler card game, set collection card drafting. basically what you're doing is you have a hand of 7 cards on your turn. You pick a card and then discard a card. You can pick from blindly from the draw pile, or you can pick from the cards that are discarded out on the table. And then, yeah, pick a card, discard a card, and you're trying to combo your cards together to get the most amount of points. And I really like this game. It's fabulous. I love drafting. I like card comboing and things like that. The art is incredibly generic. The theme is incredibly generic. So when I saw it, I was like, next. Like, I didn't even pay attention to it, but I kept hearing little things about it, and I saw it getting sold out fairly quickly. So I picked it up, and yeah, it's pretty great.
I totally agree. It is lots of fun. Yeah, it's really cool. It's kind of cool to see a game that obviously is just generic name, generic everything about it, that I feel like is succeeding just based on the gameplay. Like 100%. Like it's not even like, I make fun of Euro games sometimes, but it's what you expect from a Euro game. You don't necessarily expect something like this from a quick 10-15 minute card game, right? To be like so generic in every way, shape, or form. But then the gameplay, like the drafting and then the card, there's so many different ways that you can make your combos and like strategies to go for. You did one, I think, that was like, you got like 100 points or something like ridiculous.
They wanted a run. It was like a 5 card run, I think. So like 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 100 points off of that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
So it's really neat that you can go for something like that, or you can go for like smaller and just try and get like 30 or 40 point cards and things like that.
And so there's a bit of push your luck, like, because some of them are, I think every card is different. So there's some cards that require like 3 very specific cards, and it's a ton of points if you get it. You know, so you might try to go for that, but everything takes up room in your hand. You're only allowed 7 cards, right? So there's a bit of like push your luck. Am I going to try to go for this? Am I not? You know, pretty good for what it is. And so it's the box, I think, says 3 to 5. Or no, I don't know. 3 to 4.
3-6 maybe. Or something? 3-7?
But I tried the 2-player variant.
Okay.
And it's actually really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you build your hand. Instead of getting starting with a hand of 7, you actually build your hand. And then start with 0 cards. And it works. It's great.
Oh, cool. Is it an official variant?
It's in the rule book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to try
that. So it works. It works at 2 to whatever. I don't know what we played it at 4, right?
We play 4, but I feel like it's like 6 or 7 or...
I thought it was 2.
It's a lot.
6 is where I'm sitting, but I'm not entirely sure.
I'm trying to do the math in my head based on how many cards there are. But, yeah.
I'm interested in WizKids because the, what's his name? Z or Zef?
Yeah.
From Z-Man Games moved over.
That's the guy, yeah.
And they've been, I can't remember what else, but I've seen their name crop up now. WizKids crop up a few times with some pretty good games. So
yeah.
I'm definitely interested in seeing what else.
Is their publisher on the rise?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, for what we're interested in.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Forget it. I was going to say something, but I changed my mind.
Okay. So
I'll get into my first drive.
Okay, good.
Which is The Climbers by Holger Lanz, I think.
Sure, we'll go with it.
Published in the U.S. by Capstone Games. So this was a game, I think it's from 2008. So it's an older one, but Capstone Games brought it over to the U.S. I picked it up at Gen Con, and I was looking at my place. I've played it now 10 times since getting back. So I feel like for me, that is like a lot of time. And what's neat about The Climbers, and I'll explain in a second, though, it totally works with everyone. So it's like, it's a filler game, but I'm hesitant to call like a $50 game a filler game under any, in a 6 or 8 pound box. So like, yes, it's a filler game in that it takes like about a half hour to play, but it's very heavy and expensive. So I don't know if I want to call it a filler game. But what The Climbers is, it's a strategy game in which you have a little dude and you're trying to climb to the top of the tower. And it starts off, everyone encases 2 really long blocks in all the different blocks. And then you start building the tower. So on your turn, you get two things you can do is you can rotate a block and move it. And your guy can climb one level. So anytime you want him to climb more than one level, you get 2 ladders, a small ladder and a big ladder. And he has to use those ladders to get higher. the climb. What's really nice about this game, too, is that you can play it a nice way in that you're not trying to screw everyone over. Or you could play it a super mean way in that everyone, I played it both ways, and that everyone is going for everyone's throat and trying to block them and cage them out as quickly as possible. The game is over when everyone passes, and then whoever... So you pass when you can't move up. So if you move laterally, it's the same as a pass. But the game is over when everyone passes, and whoever's on top wins. So you can really have a lot of strategy in that you're playing everyone else as you're building it. You're playing everyone else to try and block them off and keep them away from you, or you could just try and get as high as possible to do it. And what's nice about this game is I played it with people who are gamers and people who play no games at all, and people who play a few games, and everyone has loved it.
Yeah.
Has been a huge, huge fan. My only kind of issue with it is... You know, the quality components aren't that best. Like, I feel like the paint is already chipping a fair bit on it. So that's not the end of the world. I mean, I suppose I could always touch that up. And it doesn't take away from the colors, because each cube is, each block has like six colors on it. So there's a fair bit of coloring on it. So as long as it doesn't all chip off, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a super fun game.
Yeah, that's good. I pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The bits are amazing. It's got such a table presence.
It does have. I mean, yes, it's got a lot of bits, but they're just blocks. They're just like wooden blocks.
I know,
I'm sure your daughter
beautiful.
Has a bunch of blocks somewhere.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. The colors are really gorgeous. Like, the combination of colors and those ladders. Like,
the ladders are cute.
Easily done a chit.
Yes.
And everybody gets a chit, and once you use both your chits, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact that they made like little ladders and big ladders that you use once.
It's cool. It's neat. Cool. Yeah, and the little dudes are cute, and you know they have no legs or arms. They're not meeples.
Yeah.
I feel like that adds to it. The fact that they're not little meeples. They're just like they have a head and like a body, but no arms or legs. So I feel like that kind of adds to it. It's just cute. So I'm super happy with it. I'm really, really, it's probably my favorite Gen Con pickup and purchase, and I've constantly played it since.
Cool.
So,
do you know when it actually hit retail?
I think it's November. Or October, November, something like that. But I'm not 100% sure. No. All right, what is your next drive-by?
Bunny Kingdom.
Bunny Kingdom!
Yeah.
Hippity Hop.
Such a cute little game. So...
Right here on the table.
It is. I'm staring at it right now. It's by Richard Garfield. Mm-hmm. And produced by, or published rather, by Yellow. And it's card drafting area control. Hard combo game.
With bunnies. Nice.
Cute little bunnies. So what you're doing is you're drafting cards. You draft two cards at a time, and then you pass your hand, and you play the cards immediately, take the action, and then you score based on, at like, once you've played all your cards, you score. And what you're trying to do is the board is a grid, and you're putting bunnies down. And then there's also buildings. And what you do is you count each fief, which is just an area of bunnies, in your color. And you count how many squares of the grid you have, times it by the amount of pillars on your buildings in that fief. And that's how many points you get.
Okay.
And then the cards themselves, there's a variety of them. There's ones that give you the buildings. There's ones that place your bunnies, and it'll specifically say, like, E3. So you have to place a bunny on E3. The buildings can go pretty much anywhere. There's buildings that give you additional resources. Oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's not the size of the fief. It's how many resources you have in the fief. So there's, like, forest spots, and there's field spots with carrots. And so you look how many resources that fief produces, and then you times it by... So buildings can give you more resources, increase your multiplication, that sort of thing. And yeah, it's a beautiful game. It's got like little bunny miniatures and little building miniatures. And so it's a beautiful game. A lot of people complain that the board is way too busy and there's way too many bits and it's too small. I have only played with two player. Mm-hmm. So I didn't find it to be an issue. But I could see maybe with four players it would become an issue. Oh, and there's also, like, straight-up point cards as well. So there's always this decision, do you just take the points, or do you go for bigger fiefs? First game, I did a bunch of small fiefs, and the second game, I did just, like, one huge one, and I whooped with the big one. So that was interesting.
Nice.
But yeah, it's a really good game. I love card drafting. It's the really good decisions. In the two-player game, you actually discard a card, so I really like that because there's hate drafting, which I actually enjoy, despite me not necessarily liking attacking. For some reason, hate drafting, I think because it's so passive-aggressive, I'm okay with it. Because he doesn't know what I'm throwing away.
Yeah.
So the decisions are just really good, and it's just a beautiful little game.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm really happy with it.
So you answered one of my questions about all the bits. Another question I think I've heard people say is that it's a little bit too mathy. No?
No, I mean, the nice thing about the game is you're building up from scratch.
Okay.
So you kind of know what you have. And there's even the player card, resource card, mm-hmm. player aid, there's the word, comes with a multiplication table for you to see. So, I mean, it's mathy in a way, I guess, and if you're constantly, like, trying to math everything out. But, I mean, mm-hmm. it happens at such a good rate that you can kind of keep track of things. And it's not, like, your fief, if you produce two forests, it's actually, you just count the one. Like, it's every type of resource. So, it's not like you say, you know, you're, like, getting into crazy amount of math.
Okay.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it at all.
Okay,
I didn't find it too bad. So, yeah, I'm really happy with it. I think it's a great little game. Doesn't feel overly new. Like, mm-hmm. nothing about it feels super innovative, but card drafting, area control, solid game, nice mm-hmm. bits, good decisions, short playing time. It says 45 minutes. I don't think so.
No.
I think it's closer to, like, 60,
okay.
I would say.
Nice.
Yeah. Fire. Yeah, for sure.
And there's what looked like a bunny samurai or a warrior on the side, which is pretty sweet.
Art's awesome. It's yellow, right? Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely going to have that cartoony feeling.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Neato. All right, my next drive-by is pretty much one of my most anticipated games of the last while, Wasteland Express Delivery Service by Jonathan Gilmore, Ben Pinchback, Matt Riddle, not... the UFC fighter Matt Riddle.
I forgot about that.
From Padasaurus Games. Oh, I remember. I remember everything.
Oh, dear. That's not good for me.
So I had the opportunity. I do own this game, but I still haven't punched it.
Okay.
Because I'm really intimidated to punch it. And I also haven't had 2 or 3 hours to sit down and punch and organize everything.
That much stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's like, I think I posted this on Twitter. It's literally the definition of all the bits.
Yeah.
Like, and the bits are fantastic. And it is, in every way, shape, or form, what you would consider a deluxe edition of anything. It's got, like, those... it's got a bunch of gamer trays. Like, those gamer trays components in it. So it's got, for all the various bits, it's got the... Tray things, the plastic tray things. For the card decks, it's also got little trays for them.
Wow.
And what's really neat is that there's like a little dip, so when you're trying to get them out, you just stick your finger in, nice. And they slide right up. So it's got all that stuff for them. Then the bits themselves, like the cardboard looks fairly, you know, fairly high quality. The art is amazing. The minis, there's like a handful of minis in it. There's your characters and a few of the bad guys. The minis are absolutely fantastic. They look great. I wish I knew how to paint. I would paint them. Mm. That's how great they look. So it's really like any way you want to look at it, it's a great looking and feeling game. The game itself is pick up and deliver game, but it's not like pure pick up and deliver. There's a lot of like action selection going on in it, and you have to decide what kind of action your guys are taking. There's a lot of that action selection component to it, which is what I really like about it, because it's not just like a pure, like, go there, get this, bring it back, go there, get this, bring it back, like that type of stuff.
Okay.
It's a long game, which we played it.
How long is long?
We played it at 4 players, and with 4 players and 2 people who hadn't played it, it took, I think, like 3 hours.
Wow.
I think with three players would be my preferred hotspot with it. And I feel like you could probably get the game in under 2 hours like that.
Okay.
But then there is a lot of setup, because there's the hexes are all individual and all set up, and then the tear down and stuff. It helps that you have the fancy components, but that's an issue too.
Okay.
I think so. It's not the type of game I would get to the table regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked a lot about Cinque Terre, which is pretty much my favorite pick-up and deliver game, and which is almost a pure pick-up and deliver game with some set collection in it. But in that game, it's just like a game I could see getting to the table fairly frequently. Whereas this to me feels like more of an event type thing. So
right.
Something like, okay, let's play like, you know, a 2-3 hour game, and let's just like immerse ourselves in this world, because they've done a really good job of creating a world. Like the cards have flavor text, and like all the missions have flavor text, and there's like flavor text in the book. I think there's also a campaign mode in it. I think you mentioned it to me when I first started talking about it, and I had no idea. There's something you can work your way through a story with it too. So it's definitely has a lot going for it. So I'm glad I own it. I definitely want to play it more. It's not something I would play like, you know, let's play like 2 or 3 times a month type thing,
right?
Like it's something like a few times a year to bring out, but that's really if you want to wow someone and be like, this is beautiful, like you know, this is takes up a giant space on the table and has amazing art and amazing story and all that stuff, it's that type of game.
And the game mechanisms, like, it's interesting, the gameplay's interesting,
the gameplay's very, yeah, I mean the decisions, a lot of the decisions are just based on when you're going to do your various missions, like when are you going to go, you know, achieve these things, when you're going to go drop off these goods. Because it's really a lot of it's based around 3 different resources. Water, guns, and food are the 3 resources. Then there's artifacts. So you have different criteria to winning the game that you can do it. You can do it with, there's some main missions on top that everyone has access to. And then you can, throughout the game, you can get missions from the various factions. And some of them will count towards the game winning. So I think when we played, the game winning was you had to achieve 3 stamps, so which is complete 3 of the missions to win the game. So there were the 3 for everyone, and then, you know, various factions gave you ones where if you deliver something to this location and that location, you get a stamp for it.
Okay.
Things like that. So it, I mean, most of the decisions are going to be based around that, and then how much interaction you get into with the bad guys on the field.
Okay.
So there's 3 or 4 different factions, and they move all the time. So anytime you land on something with their little logo on it, you're going to move their mini somewhere else. So that's another thing. Like, you have to decide, do you want to have this? You can have the bad guy attack one of your other opponents, things like that too. So I mean, there's some decisions there too. I feel like the decisions, for the most part, were very much just related to your deliveries and, and things like that, which is your typical cup and delivery type stuff. So, but as a whole, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it, and I do look forward to playing it again.
Cool.
Yeah.
You've not sold me.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything I could do with this game to sell you on it, actually. Beyond, like, if you didn't buy in from the looks of it, like, there's nothing
I'll punch it for you.
It's not, you can punch it for me. I would brought it now.
I'll punch it for you and organize it.
I would have been glad.
That's probably the most fun I'll get from the game. Actually, maybe.
It
doesn't sound up my alley.
It's not up your alley whatsoever.
Yeah. And not that I've played a lot of pick up and deliver, but I don't know that that's my favorite mechanism.
Yeah, I feel like
it's
you
kind of
like pick up.
Dull. I have Tobago.
Yeah.
That one I really like.
I haven't played
terrible
that.
At it. Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any more drive-bys?
Yeah, I'll do one more.
Okay, do one more.
Yeah?
Go for it.
Okay. So I saw Ancient Artifact, which is currently on Kickstarter.
Okay.
I saw it on Twitter, and it has print and play files.
Okay.
Graphic design is gorgeous. I love the graphic design, the illustration. It looked really well done, so I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. It's a roll and write game. I played a little bit ago, so my memory might not be great on this game, but I'll do my best. It's by Derek Dooley, and it's published by Lanyap Games. And yeah, it's a pretty standard roll and write. You've got 3 different tracks on your sheet. There's a map board in the middle with different colored regions. And you're rolling your dice, and you're picking 2 of them, and you're trying to fill out boxes on your 3 different tracks, basically. And the map is very limiting in that you can only put specific colors in certain spots, and you can only put specific numbers in certain spots. Mm-hmm. And there's not, I think there's like 6 spots on the map. Like, it's not a large map. And you're just vying for points at the end of the game. So the further you get track, the better you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mechanism where you start with $10 and you can spend $1 to follow another player. And you, I believe you do this before they start their turn. I can't recall. And then you get to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
The game was good for about 50% of it.
Okay.
The first half. It was like, okay, this is good. Like, I mean, it's a roll and write, right?
Mm-hmm.
For what it is, it was kind of interesting. I liked how tight the map was, but near the end, it just fell apart. Like, mm-hmm. I ended up tossing the game.
Really?
Yeah. We were like, yeah, we're never playing this again. The end of the game just fell flat. Like, it was just down to, well, we can't do anything, so just keep rolling dice and taking penalties, and then the game ends when you fill out your penalty boxes. So the end of the game was just nothing. It wasn't even a game. Yeah, so it's too bad. I was looking forward to it. I only played it once, to be fair, but it was such a beautiful looking game,
mm-hmm.
you know? So you feel like, oh, too bad that, you know, the game doesn't live up to its beauty. So, yeah, so it's currently on Kickstarter. I do not recommend backing it, unfortunately.
But if you do, at the time of this recording, there are 12 days left.
12 days left.
For it, and it's $28 if you really like it. They're about halfway there.
If what I said sounds interesting to you.
Yeah. It is a very pretty package,
though. It's gorgeous.
For what they're doing.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah, so that was disappointing.
All right, well, now that you've finished damning a company.
Yeah, I know.
And now that you're done, are you okay?
Yeah, I have some good and some bad.
That's true. I feel like that's the first time I've ever heard you say something that's kind of negative.
Yeah. No, just no.
Yeah. All right. What is that? Is that our threat spotlight?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, there you go.
Help! I'm addicted to buying board games.
Wop, whoa. Said every board gamer ever.
Everyone listening to this except my mom is probably in this camp right now.
Pretty close, yeah, I would say so.
All right. Mm-hmm. So should I get started for this BGG thread?
Yes.
All right. So the original poster, Brian Dunks. I'm addicted to buying board games. It started off okay, just buying a few games to play with my friends and family. But then I started getting out of control. I subscribed to the hot deal thread. That's the first mistake, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
My small pile of games started growing. Then I started trolling online game store websites looking for deals. I started getting mm-hmm. more and more games. Now it's become an obsession. The games are taking over shelves, and I'm considering new storage options. I'm running out of room at an alarming rate. There's no end in sight. Help! Sound familiar?
It does.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
So I would say Brian needs to have a wife who's on him constantly.
Who's not like rich?
Who's not rich? Oh, like I was gonna say yes, like your husband. I was gonna say who's not rich. If she was rich, this wouldn't be an issue yeah. for me getting all the games I want. But who's very cognizant of A, finances, and B, clutter and space. Mm-hmm. So that's my only advice.
All right. So Mindy G says, just don't buy anymore. And Brian says, I'm not sure I understand. How would I get more games that way? Clearly, he's worried about his addiction.
Yes. And David Oldster, who's speaking for everyone on BGG, says, hi, Brian.
We're all there, buddy. Yeah. We're right here with you. Chapel says, just give it a few years when all the new games start looking the same, at which point the addiction fixes itself.
And that's what happened with me. Really, yeah. To be honest. I think it just at some point, it's, yeah.
Yeah. I'm still...
You're still there.
Yeah, I'm a lot less than I used to be. I mean, I feel like I'm there. I mean, there's certain games that just don't interest me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I pass up on a lot more, and I know what I'll like and what I won't like. So.
Yeah. James, so you're having your AA meeting in the bar. I think you're going to find some pretty awful sponsors here.
That's pretty spot on.
Oh, yes. Oh, James.
Philip Jelly writes, Try rating all your games and sell those that are rated 1 to 6, which will improve the quality of your collection. At least you will only keep those that are your favorites. Incidentally, what is the problem with having too many games? Is it the cost, the storage, the wife, or the angst of owning games that you have not played? If it is shopping therapy, then buying games is cheaper than a psychiatrist and have a resale value. True truth.
See, the problem with the 1 to 6 thing, though, is, in theory, if you're owning the games, you probably shouldn't have any games that you're rating 1 to 6. Like, really, for the most part.
I don't know. For me, like, I agree lower, like, 1s, 2s, and 3s, maybe. But, like, I have a few games in my collection that I'm like, they're fine. But I like variety.
Yeah.
Right? I get sick of playing the same thing over and over and over again. So, for me, I'm okay with having some games that I don't absolutely love in my collection. Because it means that I can pull. I have variety. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So, John Haynes with more wonderful advice about... this problem. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Why stop buying wonderful games? Concentrate on improving your bank robbing skills so you can afford a bigger house to store your growing collection.
Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Adrian Haig says, solution, spend more time playing games and less time buying games. That's some sound advice.
It is. Yeah. In theory.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, in reality...
The chase is definitely part of the hobby. At least for me, it is. Like, the researching, the watching videos, you know, that's part of it for me.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Terrence Lee says, the perfect solution to an addiction is to get rid of everything and stop buying. So let me help you out. Pack up all of your games and send them to me. Don't sell them, because then you'll just get back into buying more, knowing that you can sell them later. Let me know if you need my address. Yes, Terrence.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. He gamed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Trent Gamer said, wise men once said, surround yourself with things that make you happy. I continue to grow my collection with that very advice in mind, and I'm not often disappointed with said collection as a result. Even if I don't get to play some of the games in my collection, just having them, owning them, is a source of pleasure and happiness in my life, a commodity that is hard to set a value on. Yeah. That was really sweet.
That's a good way. A good way to end it, and Trent actually... having advice in this in this thread for the guy, because it can be an issue. I think we're both lucky enough, you know, that it's not necessarily doesn't impact our lives, the games we buy, in terms of finances or anything like that. But I'm sure there are people, right, like any addiction. Yep. I mean, there are people who are addicted to buying clothes and who are addicted to buying other things, and that has an actual impact on their life.
Right.
You know, so all the comedy in here is great as long as it's not a serious thing. But if anyone actually is addicted and it is something that's impacting your life, actually do get help. Don't come on BGG help. Actually go speak to someone. Speak to your doctor or do something about it.
Yes.
All right. So do you have a song to sing?
I think I might. I believe it goes something like this. Bits, 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 bits.
Nice. So that was the first time I've heard the song in person in a while.
I know. So. This is like a moment we're having right now.
It is. And we're going to ruin that by talking about chameleon tongues.
Oh, I'm so curious
to hear about this. My all the bits that I want to highlight here in this particular bit is the game Sticky Chameleons, which is a game that involves sticky tongues. And said sticky tongues are those sticky, God knows what they're made of.
No one wants to know.
Don't want to think what they're made of, but those little things you can probably still get. But I remember as a kid, you used to put a quarter in the machine.
Right.
And you would turn it, and you would get this little ball. You open the ball, and it's this sticky thing that you whip, and it picks things up.
I totally remember and that.
That's how I used to get them. So this game comes with six of those. And what the game is, you have a variety of bugs and two die. And you're rolling your die. And two actually pretty chunky, nice die, and you have to use the sticky tongues to get them. And played this game, and the sticky tongues work really well.
Yeah.
And they're really fun, because you're just whipping the crap out of it. And you can also, like, whip it to, if one of your opponents has, like, the plumpest bug you're supposed to get. If your opponent has it, you can whip their tongue to knock it off. And you're just, like, whipping each other and whipping each other's hands and just doing it with these sticky things. And they seem relatively good quality. I don't know how I'm going to keep the stick on them. The book says to wash them. I remember, again, as a kid, I used to, after, like, 5 minutes, they were done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I played a couple games now with it. They still seem like they're sticky, and I gave them a good wash after. So we'll see how long I might have to come back to this to see how long the sticky tongues work. But it's definitely it's fun whipping those tongues everywhere.
Yeah, and it sounds like it.
Definitely a unique bit from a game, you know, Yellow, from a legitimate company.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something unique, because I feel like that's something you might be able to go to, like, Toys R Us and find something weird like that that they have. But it's a fun experience.
Mm-hmm.
So. Love my sticky tongues.
My niece and nephew would love that.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I got it as a work-related game.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll probably play it more with adults. Like, I could see this definitely being something super fun as, like, a drinking game. Yeah, or, like, totally. You know, when everyone's had a few and just whipping the crap out of each other. So.
Kind of reminds me of Spoons. Did you ever play Spoons?
Yes. Yeah.
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 So fun. Okay, my All the Bits bit is Deep Sea Adventure. By Yun Sasaki and Goro Sasaki, published by Oink Games. And this is a push-your-luck game where you're going, there's a path of number tiles, and you're going down, rolling dice, moving as far as you can, deciding if you want to take pieces or not. Everyone's sharing oxygen. Oxygen goes down throughout the game, so you need to decide, do I keep going or do I turn back? And you need to make it out of the submarine in time to get your points.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, it's actually not that bits crazy of a game, but the bits that it does have are very gorgeous. I love the game. It's got a beautiful table presence. It's small, but it's got a beautiful table presence, really nice colors. The, I don't know what they finished the chits with, but there's like a really nice film on it. I don't know how to explain it, but it feels really good
nice.
In your hands. And the reason I actually brought this up is just that I appreciate that it is a small game in a small box.
Yes. Like,
when you pack up that game, it's full and it's a good size.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's really a representation of the culture.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these games, you know, nowadays, it's like you get this huge box and there's nothing inside of it. And it's so frustrating because everybody, I mean, all board gamers want more space.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm highlighting it. Way to go, Oink Games.
All the Oink Games are like that, right?
I know.
The small things. I love them.
Beautiful.
When I saw you put this on the list, I was potentially going to put Fake Artist in New York on there because I love the like little mini whiteboards and the little mini markers in it. It's really cool. So, all the Oink Games are like that, which is really neat.
Yeah. And gorgeous art. Like, just a good production, you know, all around. So, yeah, that's my pick.
All righty. Time for our hot topic, Michelle.
Hot topic.
I'm not going to try and sing it because I have no I have no ability to maintain tone. That's why Michelle does most of the singing and I do the sound effects like pew, 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 pew.
That's true. You're a very good sound effect.
I'm good sound effects. Yeah. I know. All right. So our hot topic today is if you had to cut your board game collection down to just 5 games.
Yeah. Tough one.
That's a tough one.
It was tough.
Yeah.
How do you want to do this?
We could go one by one if you want.
One by one?
You want to go one by one?
Sure.
I feel like, although I can't see that.
Okay.
She's covering up her iPad screen. There's absolutely no way I could see that.
Okay.
Like, what the heck?
Do you have any guesses? For me?
No.
No?
No. I feel like quits.
I thought about it.
Yeah. Again, because I feel like you go through a lot of games, so it's hard to know. I'll think about it. Let's see. I'll see once you start.
I'm trying to think of you, but I'm
sure you can guess one.
Oh, Dominion, obviously.
That'd be my number one when we get to number one.
Yeah, I don't. Do you have these ranked? I don't have mine ranked.
I don't really have them ranked.
Okay. So my first pick then is Eldritch Horror.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I should have known that.
Co-op, dice. I needed to have an Ameritrash and a co-op for Rich, and I enjoy it too.
Yeah.
I really like Eldritch Horror. Yep. It's one of my most played games, and it has a ton of content, so it will never go old.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and were you talking about these with, like, expansions and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bit of a cheat.
Yeah, no, but it's true. But, like, if, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, Dominion.
Yeah, Dominion.
Which I'll guess, which is, if I had to guess, it would be one by a mile. not even close. Like, if I was ranking
if
them,
you had to pick one.
I'm not. Yeah, I would definitely be Dominion. Like Michelle said, like with Eldritch Horror, there's tons of content, right? It's never ending, and they say they're going to stop making, but they just keep pumping them out. There's now vampires in Dominion and the latest one, which I'm
crazy.
Actually looking forward to. But you
have
know,
you played all the expansions?
Yes, in one. Yeah.
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 Do you own all the expansions?
No. No, I own two. That's okay, I have the big box is all I have.
Okay.
But the thing is, I feel like pretty much 90%, 99% of the gamers that I know have at least one or two different expansions. So it's like, and I'll play it, like we talked about FallCon, I guarantee you I'll play Dominion in some form or fashion at FallCon.
Right.
Just because anytime I love, yeah, just Dominion.
Yeah.
It scratches all my itches.
Oh, you have a lot of itches.
I have a lot of itches, man. Good. I know. I need a whole Dominion to scratch them.
Okay, my next pick is Seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should know that too.
This is from pretty early on in the hobby. It was one of my first games. I love this game. I love the chunky dice. I love the drafting. I love how it plays out. Not a big fan of the Take That, but despite that, I still just absolutely adore this game. I have a lot of good memories with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a ton of cards, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Seasons, hands down.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. My second one would be Mysterium. Mysterium is... Are you shaking your head? You have Mysterium on your list?
No.
Oh, Mysterium is usually pretty... One of my... Well, the Climbers actually might be knocking Mysterium out. This is my go-to game for people who aren't familiar with the hobby. But Mysterium is by far my number one game going to.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Everyone is just, like, loves the hobby. And we kind of leave off, especially with newer players who haven't played it before. Like, I'll do more of the European rules, the Polish rules. So we leave off all the betting and that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even really like playing with that stuff anyway. But, yeah, everyone loves it. It's just, it's Clue, but with awesome art and not sucking.
So, yeah, that's true.
And I never get tired. Like, I really never get tired of the cards and the art. It's just amazing.
So. I would sell my copy of Mysterium if my niece didn't love it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Nope. I liked She's it at one taste, point, so. But... Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why is my... Okay. Okay, my next pick is The Bloody Inn.
Ooh.
I wanted a card game. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to play a good range of people. And our players, and it plays solo. I usually play solo, mm-hmm. but I could play with more. I love this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out with an expansion, yes. So hopefully there'll be more to it. But I mean, I've played it probably 15 times. I'm not sick of it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yep. I like it. And I think it's simple. It might be a little complex for non-gamers, but you could probably pull it off.
Yeah. And I think the theme helps that a lot with non-gamers, too.
Yeah.
This is a big help.
Yes. Yeah, true enough.
All right, you ready for another game you're going to hate that I'm going to say on here?
Yeah.
Codenames. I just because Codenames, there's so much replay value because there's so many cards. Mm-hmm. And now they're just milking it. If we're looking into
totally.
It, they're just like milking that for all it's worth.
Why not?
And they're just really going to town on it. But even if you just have the original, and I have every Codenames game, I don't think I'm going to dive into like the Marvel and the Disney one. I think that's going to be my cutoff. But like I have all the other ones, even the horrible uncensored one. But. It's just, it works so well with everyone, and just with the base, even with the base block, you have like 400 words, and so where are the odds you're ever going to get the same stack again? And it's not for everyone. It's not.
No.
But I enjoy word games, and so I think Codenames is definitely up there for me.
Yeah, a lot of people do love it. I don't understand why, but a lot of people do love it.
And again, like looking at this list, I'm trying to think, like, if I could only have five games, like, what would I get the most value out of? Like,
yeah,
based on, you know, so it's like, there are definitely other word type games or games like that party games that I probably enjoy more, but thinking, what am I going to get the most value out of in terms of if I only had five games?
I realize I'm a selfish gamer because I was like, I should probably have some, like, gateway games, something I can play with everyone. I was like, screw that. If I have five games, I'm picking games that I will play.
Fair enough.
Okay, my next pick is Werfel Bonanza.
Okay.
This was my gateway pick. I did pick a gateway, but I needed a dice game,
mm-hmm.
and I needed something light and easy. And this is like, I guess, my code names. It plays a pretty good player range, and I have yet to have anybody not play it and say they didn't like it. Simple, it's quick, it's easy. I needed a game like that in here for my five, so that was the pick that I went with.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good game. That's super easy.
Yeah. Fun.
I really like Bonanza. I don't even own Bonanza. Bonanza was on my like list here.
I love that game.
Yeah. It was on my, at the bottom, and I was like, is it cheating if I don't actually own it? Again, Bonanza's like, everyone I know actually owns that game.
Yeah.
So it's like, everyone I would potentially play it with will either have it when they go to their house, or they'll bring it over when they come.
If it
like,
played too well, it would have been on my list.
Have you played Bonanza Duel? I know we're getting off
have,
topic.
I have,
yeah,
a few times.
Do you like
it's
it?
Okay. Yeah, it's good. Rich doesn't mind it, so, yeah. But it's no Bonanza.
I'm sure.
It's no Bonanza.
All right, so my fourth one would, I guess, be my most serious game, my most Euro-y game on here would probably be Zolkin, the Mayan clock, or
calendar.
I am really off. Wow. For someone whose favorite, one of my, like, probably five favorite games, Zolkin, the Mayan calendar. It's been a rough night.
Yeah,
I'm tired.
I can tell that.
Yeah, I love, I know some people think it's gimmicky because of the wheel and everything, but I do. Sorry,
it's a great game.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite Euro game, and it's not terribly complex, and you know, but it's got enough decisions in it that it's definitely a good time for a game you can get out in like 90 minutes too. And like thinking my Euro games, like this is like probably one of the only Euro games I have where I would be like, okay, I could play this tonight and the next night and the next night and the next night. I can't think of any other ones. Like I thought about Castles of Burgundy and was like, you know, would I want to do this? I was like, I feel like eventually I'd be like, I want something a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of wanted with Zolkin.
Nice. My next pick is my Euro pick as well. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised I didn't have all Euros.
I know, me too.
But I'm like, I need to be able to play with my husband, and I need to be able to play solo. So
yeah, I'll...
what?
No, I was gonna say all the bloody ends of Europe.
I guess so. I kind of see it more as like a card game.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, my pick is Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Yep. So I really like this game. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Euro, but I think it's a fantastic game. It's got a good player count. Well, it's 2 to 4, but I find it works at 2. I play the variant and it works. And the reason I picked it is because it's been around for a long time and it still holds up.
Yeah.
So I assume that if I play it a bunch and a bunch and a bunch, it'll still hold up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like these new Euros, you know, you never know. They might like, I don't know, not be broken, but you know what I mean? They might not just hold up. Puerto Rico, it holds up. So I trust that it's a game that I could keep playing over and over again. Plus, I have all the expansions. I printed out all the buildings. Like, the art's very plain and ugly. So I printed out this beautiful... They used the art from San Juan.
Okay, yeah.
And I foam core mounted them all and cut them all. So I have everything in these, like, really pretty buildings. And they're all thick and chunky. So upgraded a little bit. Yeah, that was my pick.
You want to hear one of my gaming regrets?
Sure.
I've never played Puerto Rico.
Really?
I've never played it.
It is a fantastic game.
I have not played it. I've played San Juan, but I've never played Puerto Rico.
You should play it.
I should.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. Can I tell you my three runner-ups?
Yes. Should I do my last one first?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Even though you already took it and said it for me, so whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that would be for the same reasons that you said, is because it's co-op, so I would definitely want at least one co-op on here. And two, because of all the content. And this is from someone who doesn't have any... I don't have any of the expansions.
Okay.
I still play the base game and am totally fine with it. I'm thinking it might be time for an expansion now. But I love it. I love, like, the theme of it. And I love just kind of diving into the characters and the story. And, again, it feels like I never played the same game twice. No matter how many times we fight the same monster. So, and it's a game I enjoy playing solo too. One of the few games I'll play solo. There's a lot to manage, so solo, but it's still a fun experience. So,
good pick.
Yeah.
Obviously, I support your pick.
Yes. Okay. Well, your runner up.
Okay, I have three runners up.
Three runner up.
Keyflower.
Yeah.
Trois.
Yeah.
Robinson Crusoe.
Okay.
And I didn't pick Robinson Crusoe because Rich doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've played it, I think I'm at like 17 or 18 plays. Love that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had to pick Eldritch instead. And Twa and Keyflower, two of my favorite heroes.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I didn't prepare any runners-up, but I could definitely think. So I mentioned Bonanza.
Yeah.
For sure, like, Bonanza should be on this list. Number two would be Terraforming Mars. That was, like, I was debating between that and Zulkin. And part of the reason is I just went with, Zulkin's a lot older, but I've played Zulkin definitely considerably more than Terraforming Mars, but I love Terraforming Mars, and I'm sure if we would do this, if we do this next year, Terraforming Mars will be on this list.
And there's like sure. 8 expansions coming.
There's like a bunch of expansions, so. That's true. And then my number three, I tried thinking I would like a trick-taking game or something on there, so I was thinking maybe like Diamonds would be just to have something like that, or a deck of cards.
Oh yeah, that'd be so good. Diamonds would hold up.
Yeah, or just a deck of cards.
Yeah, that's a good call.
All right, so I just received a box today. So it's time for some Bits unboxing. This is my terribly annoying sound effect. All right, let's start, shall we? So, first things first, I got the Orleans Trade and Intrigue expansion. I love Orleans. I think it's a fantastic game. I have the deluxe version. And this looks really good. I've heard the Intrigue board sucks. It's very attacky, so definitely not my style. I don't plan on playing with those, but everything else is supposed to be pretty fantastic. I'm most excited about the new events because I do find that the game gets a little stagnant with the same events over and over. What else? What's next? We've got Imagine, which I've talked about on previous episodes. This is a party game a la Concept, if you've played that, where you're trying to get people to guess a word using these transparent cards with different images, and you can animate them and overlap them and combine them to get your point across. And I've been eyeing this for a while. It hasn't been available in Canada, and it just arrived. So yeah, I picked it up right away, and I'm really excited. I imagine I'll be playing this a lot with my family, my niece and nephew. Next up is number 9, which I've also talked about a bunch. I've been borrowing a friend's copy, so I pre-ordered my own copy, and it's finally here. I just love this game. I think it's just great. It's great for gamers, and it's great for non-gamers alike, and I've already gotten quite a bit of play out of it, so happy to have a copy. Oh, I ordered some sleeves. And I'm not usually a sleever, but I was playing Great Western Trail the other day, and I decided I wanted to sleeve it just because there's so much shuffling of your own deck. And yeah, I just wanted to protect it a little bit because I could see myself getting quite a few plays out of that game. So got some sleeves. The next one is Jiraku, which came out a few years ago, I think. It says 2014. But it's not been available in North America. TMG just brought it over. And it's, I don't know, actually know a ton about it, but I do know it's a trick-taking game, which I love trick-taking games, and there's some area control, which normally isn't really my thing, but I thought the combination of trick-taking and area control would be really good. And I do remember when this did come out, the few people who got a copy adored it. So I've been wanting it for a while and waiting. It was super expensive. Board Game Bliss had import copies for like $70, and I knew it was a $20 game, so I've been waiting patiently for TMG. And it's finally here, so I'm really excited to give it a go. Next up here is Fantasy Realms. So this was kind of not an impulse buy, because I did look into it, but a surprise. It wasn't on my radar at all, but I noticed that the copies were going relatively quickly, and then when I looked at the reviews, I realized, oh, this looks like a really fun game. So Fantasy Realms by WizKids is a card drafting set collection game, and the interesting thing is you're building up your hand, so on your turn you like pick a card and then put down a card, and you're trying to build up combos. The art's kind of boring, the theme is boring, well, generic rather, but it just sounds really fun. I love drafting, right? And card combos. So it should be good. It's 3 to 6 players. So it'll be, I usually play with 2 players. So we'll see how quickly I can get to play it. But anyways, excited about that. And then it was my birthday a few weeks ago, so I spoiled myself. These were on sale, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to treat myself. And they're called Space Roller Dice, and they're, if you put them in the sun, they, like, light up. And I got the teal and steel ones, and they're gorgeous, and I cannot wait to see them when they're all lit up. They look really good, even just in the box. All right, some Exit games. I got Exit, The Secret Lab. I've really been enjoying the Exit series, so this is the last one of the initial 3 that I have not tried. And then last episode I talked about Escape Room, The Game. So I've been playing this a ton with my mom and my husband. It's been really great. We've been having a blast. So I bought the next 2, which is Welcome to Funland and Murder Mystery. Looking forward to getting those to the table. Okay, we're almost done. Oh, it's an exciting day. I got a lot of games. Okay, next up is Spy by Chris Handy. So this is another Paco game. And if you heard my last unboxing, I'm on a Paco game craze, I guess you could call it. I'm really enjoying them. And my daughter loves playing with them. I just put them in my purse. And whenever she's fussy when we're out, I just give her my purse and she takes them out and plays with them. Anyway, so Spy is came out in the last pack, and it looks Hanabi-esque. I love Hanabi, so I thought, sure, why not? And I loved the art, too. It's really, it looks really good. Okay, next up is, I keep saying next up, which is deceiving because we have a segment called Next Up. Anyways, this next one I got is The Quest for El Dorado. So this was the Spiel nominee. And it's Reiner Knizia, deck builder, moving down on a map. I thought this looked really great. It had great reviews. And I thought it would be, like, I'm not great at deck builders, so I thought it would be a really good game for me to kind of practice my deck building skills because it is a little bit more of a simple game. And I also saw it as a little bit of a gateway, something also quick, like if Rich and I want to play a game but we don't have a ton of time, this could be something that hits the table. And it's quick and easy. And I also appreciated the variability that they had in the map. So really excited about this one. I think it'll be fun. I don't think I'll like love it, but I think it'll just be a really nice game, if you know what I mean by that. And then, of course, the obligatory Hellas and Elysium Terraforming Mars expansion. So I'm not as much of a fan of this game as a lot of other people. But I like it enough to want to keep playing it. And actually, mostly just play it solo. I've played it 2 and 3 players. I find it runs a little long, and that's not even with the drafting variant. So I mostly just play it solo, but I really enjoy it. So I picked up the extra board, so that should be fun and interesting. Okay, and last but definitely not least is Bunny Kingdom. I'm so excited about this game. Like I said, if I could redo my Gen Con list, this would be my number one anticipated game. I've heard it gets a little bit busy and mathy, so I'm a little bit concerned about that, but there are so many bits, and the art is phenomenal. It's by Yellow, of course, it's phenomenal, and it's drafting and area control and card comboing, so like Fantasy Realms, it's just like, it's right up my alley. So I'm really, really excited to get this one to the table. I think of my haul that I just went over, I think this is probably the one I'm most excited about. And I'm sure you guys will be hearing about it in a future podcast episode. So thanks for listening. I hope I didn't talk too fast. You can tell I'm probably pretty excited. So anyways, thanks for listening.
So you guys will probably figure out in a couple seconds that this is not, in fact, our next bit. That particular bit, unfortunately, got lost when my computer decided to crash. Thankfully, we only lost that file, but we had some really good stuff in there, some great comedic gold, as Michelle calls it. But it's all related to baseball, as I'm sure you can figure out from previous episodes. So hopefully next episode we'll be able to recreate that magic. Once again, my apologies for this segment not being here. We hope it won't prevent you from joining us next time. Till our next episode in a couple of weeks, please tweet us at allthebitspod or email us at allthebitspodcast@gmail.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time. And as Michelle would say, bye!